Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Steve Dace and Daniel Horowitz join us to talk about their new book, Rise of the Fourth Reich. Very important conversation. I'd love your thoughts, as always. Email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support. So many people support us, and we're very thankful. charliekirk.com/support. Sally from Idaho, thank you. Jim from Alabama, thank you. Denise from California, Diane from Ohio, John from Pennsylvania, Tracy from Idaho, and Molly from Alabama, thank you. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. There is a bold new book out that is taking the internet by storm. The Rise of the Fourth Reich. Are you even allowed to say that? By two incredible people, Steve Dace and Daniel Horowitz. Well, both of them join us right now. It is the new book, Rise of the Fourth Reich, Confronting COVID Fascism with a New Nuremberg Trial So This Never Happens Again. Steve and Daniel, welcome back to the program.
Always good to be with you, Charlie. Thanks.
Steve, I'll start with you because we had Daniel on recently. I mean, come on. Comparing this to the Third Reich, Fourth Reich, isn't that a little bit too intense, the skeptics would say? The people in the middle, they say, why does everything have to be compared to the 1930s? Steve, your response.
Because we keep repeating history, and it doesn't just repeat, Charlie. It also rhymes. And hey, I was once a strict enforcer of Godwin's law, okay? Which is essentially a philosophical law that if two people debate and argue over a point long enough, one of them will eventually descend to calling the other a Nazi.
That's exactly okay? Right.
And I was a strict enforcer of this for most of my career. It's very hard, though, to ignore the parallels. When you talk about what has been ushered in via a biomedical fascist state, literally every issue that we have right now in this culture that is of a systemic origin, I was just listening to you talk to Carrie Lake and Blake Masters in Arizona, talking about what's going on in the border, why we have 100% more greater surge over the border than we had a year ago and far greater than we had under the previous president. Well, what provided the mechanism for them to create the most secure election of our lifetimes? What mechanism came in for them to finally do what they, we stopped them from doing this for decades? I mean, we actually had the momentum going our way with voter ID laws in over 30 states. What provided them the opportunity here to commit the crime that we saw on Election Day 2020 was COVID. This wasn't safe to go out and vote. We needed to have the drop boxes in all these states. And lo and behold, you get a ballot harvesting scheme and 2,000 mules. Okay, so everything you would think of right now, the inflation that started with COVID spending when we had the original shutdowns under Trump, and then we've just taken it now to a whole different level. Everything that you would come up with right now, the raid on Mar-a-Lago.
Yep.
I mean, the same elements within the government that want to weaponize FBI did that with NIH and FDA and CDC against us before that. Everything you would think of as an issue right now of a systemic nature in our culture, Charlie, it all emanates from March 16th, 2020. There was America with her issues. And they were already systemic on March 15th, 2020. And then there is the America that has emerged ever since.
Daniel.
You know, Charlie, it's literally in the title of the book, Confronting COVID Fascism with a New Nuremberg Trial So That It Never Happens Again. This is not just about genocide, although we do prove that when you look at the lockdowns, the creation of COVID, which was created and was pre-planned, and the creation of the biomedical products like remdesivir and the vaccines, you are talking about several hundred million people at a clinical level injury. You're talking about tens of millions of people seriously injured, and you're talking about millions of people killed from the shots. And then certainly you get into the tens of millions when you throw in the lockdowns and the vaccines there. So in terms of severity, it's actually there. But there's a more important parallel here. And that is Auschwitz didn't begin with Auschwitz. We're literally comparing it to the Third Reich, the mentality, the medical nationalism, the scientism. We're going to create a master race. It yes. didn't start necessarily targeting exclusively the Jews. They targeted people that they felt were useless eaters. It's funny, we hear that word a lot from the World Economic Forum folks these days. And what they did was they elevated scientism yes. and national medical objectives over the rights of the individual. That is the Third Reich. That is why doctors joined in quicker and in larger numbers earlier on than any other profession. What we discuss in this book is largely how hospitals and doctors got roped into this mentality that there is quite literally nothing we won't do to you, from denying you treatment to doing things that prima facie kill you to denying kidney transplants if you don't follow what we say. That mark that was left on society, culture, a human mentality, as well as the medical profession, we have not extirpated that from our midst. It is worse than it's ever yep. been, and that's why we felt compelled to write this.
Are you like every one of us that thinks our country has gone nuts, whether it's Russiagate, market crashes, or selling oil to China, or this insane inflation? Well, right now, you need a financial mind who understands your concerns, but at the same time has a Christian worldview of money. That's why you should talk to my friends at Pax Financial Group. Look, I've given my money to Pax Financial to manage. If it's good enough for me, I think it's good for you. Like all of us, they have concerns, but they also have hope. In this market, you must have a financial person who shares your hope and at the same time can help you with biblical responsible investing, BRI, biblical responsible investing. That's why I want you to text the word Charlie to 74868. That is Charlie to 74868 to connect with my friends at the Pax Financial Group. Biblical responsible investing. So take out your phone. Just text Charlie to 74868. That's 74868. Text Charlie to connect with my great friends at the Pax Financial Group.
Daniel, I want to ask you this. How much of this was planned beforehand? So if you are making the argument that this is the rise of the Fourth Reich, then it's possible to infer this was not an accident. This was not some sort of, they stumbled into it. Was this planned in the sense, did they have globalist type blueprints on the table ready to be implemented? Are you going as far to say that this virus was released intentionally? Because if you're going to say it was the Fourth Reich, then this was many years in the making. Your thoughts, Daniel, then Steve.
Absolutely. This was pre-planned. It's funny, just today on my podcast, I was talking about monkeypox, how they rushed an extremely dangerous shot, prima facie, on CDC's own review in 2019. Why? They held a tabletop simulation last year. Bill Gates warned about it. They approved a therapeutic for smallpox. Why? Why? Wuhan was doing research, gain of function on monkeypox. We're seeing it now. Before, we didn't see it. And retrospectively, when you go back, there were those planning it. Now, to be clear, there are people in pharma and government that knew about it and were planning it. It doesn't mean every last person in the medical profession knew about it. Obviously, they didn't. Just like in the Third Reich, most people didn't know about the final solution, but they got swept up into that medical nationalism, the eugenics. They thought it would be good for the country, would improve
their
standing.
But I just want to make sure to nail you down, Daniel. Sorry to interrupt. Do you or Steve, you could interject. Do you believe that there was a plan on the table ready to go for all this vaccine mandates, transhumanism, lockdowns? Or do you think it was just kind of these fringe ideas that got implemented in emergency powers? Because none dare call it a conspiracy, right, Daniel? I mean, what you're arguing is a conspiracy. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. And we address this in one of the latter chapters. One of our witnesses at the trial comes with all the receipts, the patents, the pre-prepared war on treatment. There is no way this organically germinated in mid-March.
Well, that's even darker than the interpretation some people have, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes, there is no question. And we're living through it. Charlie, we're living through it with monkeypox right now. And this is going to keep happening. Now we know there were 24 gain-of-function sites in Ukraine. What were they doing there? This was definitely going on. And at some level, this was intentional. The vaccines were not created in a matter of 2 days at the end of January.
Steve, Is this is the argument you're making that this was a plan on the shelf that was then implemented intentionally, orchestrated against billions of people?
I was a big fan back in the day, Charlie, of the X-Files. I loved the show. And there was an interesting dynamic on the X-Files where you had Mulder and Scully, the two FBI agents investigating all this paranormal and, you know, unexplained phenomenon. And Mulder, you know, was a complete believer, and Scully didn't want to believe. And often the naturalistic or random explanations that she would try to concoct to explain these events were even more fantastical than just believing Mulder's suspicions. You have to believe either what Daniel just asserted. If you don't believe that, then you have to believe this, that all of these various global entities just so happen to have blueprints handy should the moment present itself to all act simultaneously. And except for a couple of countries like Sweden during lockdowns, for example.
Yes.
Except for a couple of modern countries, the entire world just all happened to simultaneously and randomly fall in line. I think it takes a lot more faith to believe that latter explanation. And I would also counter with this. If this were a purposeful depopulation scheme, what would they have done differently? If this were a purposeful attempt to initiate a great reset, what would they have done differently? And the answer is, if it was on purpose, nothing. They'd have done exactly everything as they have.
So I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole, but something I want you guys to consider that you're going to have to answer is, if this was orchestrated, then that is the ultimate red pill. I mean, what else are we living through that is also orchestrated over multiple years? Daniel, it seems like you want to chime in on that.
Yeah,
this is an uncomfortable conversation that
Daniel
and I had.
It's a limiting belief, right?
Yeah, yes. In the middle of this, we were about halfway through the project and we were kind of assessing where we're at and where we still wanted to go. And Daniel said to me, he goes, have you considered this isn't the first time they've done something like this, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, I was like, donkey, you cut me deep, Shrek. Like, yeah, I don't even want to consider that. Okay. But you can't not consider it. And I think that's why there's a cadre of non-communist people in America that don't want to consider the full ramifications.
That's exactly
of this.
Right. I totally agree.
And that's
agree.
Why they hold on to a fantasy a magical thinking fantasy that doesn't permit them from doing so, because I understand how uncomfortable it is. Trust me, I'm not comfortable in this at all, but I also can't ignore what my own eyes have seen these last 29 months.
Daniel.
You know, Charlie, not only have I gotten every vaccine that was made available, I guess at my age bracket at the time, but when my wife was pregnant, I got another DTP. When when there was a measles outbreak at college just a couple of years ago, I got another MMR. I was just, my brain never even went there. And then when this started coming out, I was thinking, oh my gosh, I'm like so many other people. I never even knew about this. And now we look at this monkeypox research. They're doing the same thing. Their entire enterprise is willful. It's there in plain sight. Everything we talk about, we bring the receipts. But there's one very, very important point that we hone in our opening argument. And it's, by the way, available for free mm-hmm. right now for download at trialsandexecution.com. And that is this. It wasn't a zero-sum game where they had to make a wartime decision and it was like a button that was pressed and instantaneously this all came out irrevocably, like shooting an arrow that cannot be taken back. Every single hour of every day until this very day we live in, they could have done the right thing. They could have done the right thing. And today, the time we live in, the data we've put out just this week, Steve and I in our shows, from the German insurance data, from the myocarditis study in Thailand, we have blown through the threshold of the Nuremberg Code millions of times over, and they still continue mandating it in the military, much less removing it from the market. So you don't need to imagine, oh, what could have been conspired several years ago, a decade ago. Right now, if this were just a mistake or stupidity, they would end it. And the next day they would end it. And when more data comes out, they would end it. But that is the Nuremberg Code that's been permanently vitiated. The voluntary consent of the human subject is absolutely essential. And then the precept number 10, that during the course of the experiment, when you see that there is likely to occur some form of injury or disability You must terminate it. Think of the school closures. All right, you panicked the first day, first week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It became apparent right away. None of this stuff worked. Kids weren't in danger more than a typical winter. And they continued and continued and continued. And to this day, they are not done with the mask and any of that. So that's the point. Of course it was willfully done, because if it wasn't, if it was an accident, they would have stopped it by now.
I mean, there's so many different directions we can go with that. Steve, do you have an immediate reaction to that?
I want to just reinforce what he said, because when you get a chance to read this book when it comes out next year, you're going to see it's going to be loaded with technical data. You'll see that when you go to trialsandexecution.com and read the opening statement. It's framed like a mock Nuremberg trial. There's an opening argument, a closing argument. There's an appendix of evidence of what to do next. In between, we've got 20 witness interviews from people that were eyewitnesses to this tyranny and suffered from it. And so there's going to be a lot of technical stuff in there to master. But the most important truth maybe in the entire book is what Daniel just said. And it's one of the most elemental and simple. At any point, they could have said, my bust, got that one wrong. Oh, didn't have to do that. They never did this entire time. I mean, Congressman Massey pointing out last week, amazing. This goes to the number one political book in the country. And all of a sudden, CDC decides we're not going to do COVID anymore. We're not going to treat the unvaccinated differently anymore. They could have made that decision a year ago when the data came out. They decide we're going to get rid of the line that we lied about on our website, that the spike protein doesn't stay in your body for too long. They just made that disappear and memory hold it faster than you can say Las Vegas shooter. Okay. These are all things that they could have admitted and come forward and said, we got ambushed. We overreacted. We don't trust the Shycoms. We think it's not of a natural origin. We weren't sure how many natural, biological, physiological, immunological precedents apply to what could be a bioweapon. So we overreacted. Now we're getting data. So we're going to pull none of that, none of that transparency, none of that self-awareness, none of that empathy. And for those that think that the title Rise of the Fourth Reich goes too far, that's the key word, an absence of empathy, that someone could have another view that was legit, even if I don't see it or share it at that time. That's what was missing in the 30s in Germany. And that's what's missing here today. And you see this comprehensively. Well, you can only disagree with me if you're a racist, if you're a misogynist, a xenophobe, a homophobe. And we just carry that right on over into a place where we were all taking a risk, Charlie, whether with a vaccine or exposure to the virus, we all took a long-term risk that should have created the most amount of empathy. Instead, it did the opposite.
They've never acknowledged error in any way, shape, or form. Daniel, remind our audience, what is Nuremberg and what exactly happened there? We have a lot of younger listeners. They don't teach us stuff in schools anymore, obviously.
Sure. Obviously, it was an idea that even though the Third Reich collapsed, Hitler was gone, Germany was conquered, that you can't just walk away from something of that magnitude.
From war crimes.
Without justice, punishment, and then an affirmation to ensure never again, that it never happens again. So they held a Nuremberg trial and held people accountable for the final solution. But there was an auxiliary trial at Nuremberg, and this is the one we focus on. And we're coming up in December on the 75th anniversary of it, which was the doctor's trial. Hmm. And it was a recognition of this scientism and medical supremacism, nationalism that grew out of the Third Reich and really led to this cold lack of empathy, not just among the top echelons, but etched itself in society the same way you see now. Someone will look at you with eyes that could kill if you don't wear a mask, if you don't get the shot, if you are a threat to another person. It was the notion that they believe that if you don't go along with us, your existence is a threat and it deserves to be exterminated. They held a separate trial, and out of that was born the Nuremberg Code, of which there are 10 principles. Every single one was violated.
Every single
to
one.
This day.
Every single one was violated. And I mean, if it wasn't for you guys and Malone and McCullough and Kirsch and Naomi Wolf and Bannon, there's just not many of us on the right. A lot of people are defenders on the right of this whole thing. In fact, it is what I call a limiting belief. I didn't come up with the term. If you really get them in private, they become so nervous and anxious, they steep down, they'll admit, well, if this is wrong, what else do I believe that might be wrong?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly,
exactly,
you moron.
Right.
You live in your comfort pillow palace of lies, but not a MyPillow palace, of course. We like that.
Charlie Kirk here. MyPillow is having their biggest sheet sale of the year. You all have helped MyPillow become an amazing company and really honestly become what it is today. Now, Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO of MyPillow, great American, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. The Percale bed sheet is available in a variety of colors and sizes, and they're all on sale. For example, the queen size is regularly $89.98, but now it's only $39.98 with our listener promo code. Order now because when they're gone, they're gone. The Percale sheets are breathable and they have a cold, crisp feel. These come with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Don't miss out today on this incredible offer. This is a limited-time supply, so make sure to order now. Go to 1-800-875-0425 now and use promo code Kirk, or go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, and they're known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Steve, let me ask you, if it is the rise of the Fourth Reich, who is the Fuhrer?
This is what makes this very difficult. And one of the points that we make in the opening argument, which again, you can download and read it right now, trialsandexecution.com, is that when we had a Third Reich, it was of course originally composed within one nation state. Eventually, nationalistic rivalries would emerge. Other people would say, hey, I want to be the Fuhrer. I want to be the one in charge. I want to be the chief megalomaniac around here. Or a free people would rise up and say, we cannot allow that kind of a tyranny. But what happens when it's an amorphous blob? What happens when it's an amorphous metastasizing organism that touches virtually the entire intellectual elite crowd within the West? You can't. It's a hydra now, and that's what we're dealing with here, Charlie. You can't just say Klaus Schwab is an easy target, and frankly, deserving of it. Okay, given that he literally is a Bond villain 3 minutes away from stroking a white cat. Okay, but okay, you know, Klaus Schwab steps in the wrong way in a busy intersection, and Munich gets hit by a bus. Those ideas and everything aren't going away.
That's right.
There is a long and hydra-like organization throughout the elite sectors of the West that share these ideas. They have long shared them. They used to be called the Council on Foreign Relations.
That's right.
They have decided to weaponize them now. They're done sharing power with us. They exist outside of your elections. They now are
constitutional. That's right.
That's right. They no longer are you know, rivals of the corporate sector. They're aligned with it now. They're done being held accountable by our trite political mechanisms. And so it's not a unique person. It's really a consortium. It's almost like a global confederacy.
Yeah. So Daniel, again, that's hard for some people to stomach. So help build that out. And for those
go ahead. This is the Fourth Reich as opposed to the Third. We build and explain where that mentality, that lack of empathy, that notion that you are a threat for existing. And if you are not a member of the tribe, it might have been more racial then. Now it'll be more circumstantial and ideological. Do you abide by our, are you a man of the cloth? Do you have a circumcision, but not that type of circumcision, one in the arm? If you are a member of the tribe, you're good. If not, you literally forfeit your life. And that's what's described in the books. They literally killed people in the hospital with that mentality. The Fourth Reich is if Hitler had mini-me's in every single Western democracy. It was private public partnership at every level. So it's global medicalism, not national. Okay. And then the technology, surveillance,
yeah.
Track and trace, the QR codes, you as if you're a bag of lettuce now in Germany. They're doing that, and they're one inch away from doing that here. I mean, imagine if he had that technology. You can't escape it. And while medical freedom is the most important issue, bodily autonomy, but this branches out to everything, food, fuel. There's nothing they can't and will not do. And before, I used to think these guys were lunatics, but now after seeing this and experiencing this, we need to realize, oh, we ought to take them at their word.
This is hard for some people to stomach, guys. I keep going back to this because I know that they're going to say, wait a second, you're trying to tell me that they staffed governments? Well, it's not like we have Klaus Schwab saying that, right, Steve?
Yeah, except for all of the famous elite politicians in every country, including our own, that they fed out there in Davos a few times a year.
That's
except
right.
For all those people they staffed. Yes, they haven't staffed anybody, Charlie. You're correct.
Daniel.
Look, the reality is this didn't happen overnight. They created this over time, and it festered and festered, and eventually the plan went kinetic. When you read this book, you will realize that it could not have been born out of a mistake or naivety or even stupidity, that you put everything together. They knew this from day one with the clinical trial. We have victims of the clinical trial that attest to it. We have victims in the hospitals who attest to this, as well as experts on all of the data. The bottom line is the most important principle was established, that you walking in locomotion without doing anything could be a threat to another human being unless you take an action against your body. We have now learned there is no legal, moral, or scientific rationale for that to be true, and that needs to be uprooted from the body of law, politics, and society.
Daniel, is this the beginning or the end of their plans?
You know, I take Klaus Schwab at his word when he says this was the Great Reset. It's funny how he had that book out a couple minutes after something that shocked everyone else, but he didn't seem too shocked by it. He calls it the Fourth Industrial Revolution. It's the Fourth Reich. It's the mixture of transhumanism, insane technology, artificial intelligence. You have no rights. You have nothing. You'll be happy with it. Public-private partnerships in every Western government joining in with it. So they started with medical freedom because they understand that people fear pathogens. The bottom line is, even though polling showed 60-70% would say, hey, you know, I believe in global warming, but people didn't really feel it in their bones or fear it in their hearts. Pathogens, people do fear. And I think we saw that. What I found fascinating from day one is every left-wing agenda item, usually it's you know, opposed unanimously by the right. But when it came to COVID fascism, 100% of the left bought into it. And I'd say, depending on the time period and place, 50-60% yes. of Republicans bought into it as well. So it shows you how successful it was. That was the hook to imbue in society that everything could be done executively without oversight, without hearings, without legislative authority, without statutory authority, how people must be ready to sacrifice, surrender their bodies. This is what we do, tracing, testing, treatment, vaccines. This is the new norm. And then they had the lockdown as the bogeyman to show that, hey, headed forward, you don't want that. Remember that, right? You don't want that. Here are the things you need to do to avoid that. This was the beginning.
Steve, you know, I tell people the deeper you dive into this stuff, at first you're going to be scared, you're going to be fearful, you're going to be confused, but you'll actually get a place of comfort the more you research, the more you learn. Let's talk about solutions here for the last 10 minutes, about how we actually overthrow the Fourth Reich, how we smash their regime or what they're trying to do. I believe one of the most important things is to learn and to research. There's an old proverb, which is you cannot go about fixing something you do not understand. Pretty simple, mm-hmm. right? It's rather self-evident. Your thoughts, Steve, how do we win this war?
Well, I'll talk about that generally, and then I want Daniel to get into the specifics, because that's really his brainchild in the book, is the appendix of mm-hmm. specific things you can take to your state legislator, your congressman, and say, hey, here's the things we need to do. But there's a couple of broad points that and one of them you just touched on. When I got into this business, brother, I didn't know a T cell from a T bone. Okay. I didn't get into this to I didn't know what a seroprevalence was. I didn't get into this for any of that. But it was incumbent upon me. I had a moral responsibility to research heavily the subject matter that we were discussing. I think a lot of our people, frankly, Charlie, have just outsourced all of this.
I totally agree.
And forgotten that self-government begins with the self. And here's the great irony. And I think this is, if there's a reason I have survived on Twitter when so many of the others, Daniel included, have gotten blown out of here, it's because I have just tried to remain extremely disciplined in only responding to their own data and only sharing their own data, because their own data is bad enough. Their own stuff's bad enough, and they put it out there for you. They just think that most of our people won't read beyond the lower third on a cable news channel or the headline that they clicked on. They won't look at the actual details within the story. And so they can just have some, you know, Stephanie Ruhle on MSNBC just come on and say something totally contrary to the facts of the story that she's talking about. But you'll just go with it because that's what the talking head or the graphic says. Our people are going to have to learn to put in a little bit more legwork here into citizenship and stop outsourcing it. And that's number one. Number two, and Daniel can get in here next with a lot of great specific ideas, but here's the thing to remember, no matter how great those ideas are, we are not a nation of laws and we never have been. We are a nation of political will and we always will be. I'll give you an example of that. Only 2% of American parents injected that poison into their kids. All right. If 20 or 25% had done it, I promise
you. Oh, is that
you,
right? I didn't know that. 2% of parents?
2%. Yeah, they're small. They're, well, I should say they're toddlers. Yes.
Okay. If you count teenagers, that number's got to be higher.
Correct. Oh, I meant to say small kids. Okay.
All right.
But here's why that number matters. If they had started with a baseline of, say, 20%, I promise this would have come next. You cannot, federal policy, you cannot send your child into any education building that receives any federal funding, including a daycare that has Head Start. Okay. Nothing that receives any federal funding unless you inject them with this poison, because they would have figured we start with a baseline of 20. We just lie to our people on our channels to get the next 20%. And then we just force everybody else by virtue of you've got to actually take care of your own kids if you don't do this, and they'll buckle. But because they started with a baseline of 2, they had nowhere to go. And we never even got to those secondary, tertiary plans. We need to learn to become ungovernable by these entities. We are ungovernable by the spirit of the age. We won't comply with this, any of this anymore. And so many of us are non-compliant that you couldn't enforce your fever dreams even if you wanted to. Our people need to learn to do that, need to stop trusting institutions that, because they still have a picture of Moses bringing the Ten Commandments down from the mountain, that still means that that's the America of old. It is not. All right. Judge the tree by its fruit, not its dead relics. Okay. And learn to become ungovernable. Learn to understand, hey, when Donald Trump took office in January of 2017, there were fewer elected Democrats in public office in this country, federal, state, and local, than there had been in 100 years since before the Great Depression. San Francisco didn't say, "Aw, snap, Trump's president. Stop being communist, I guess." No, man, they just kept San Franciscoing. They didn't friggin' care, all right?
That's right.
Why does Birmingham, Alabama care if Joe Biden is president? Why does Lexington, Kentucky care? Why does Charleston, West Virginia care? You see my point? Learn to become ungovernable by the spirit of the age.
Daniel.
Hey, look, Charlie, what I do, and Steve and I wrote this in the last chapter, we set out to show exactly how you erect that firewall around human rights against medical fascism, biomedical tyranny ever again, by imbuing that culture and that knowledge in the county legislatures, the state legislatures. It starts off with a resolution of repentance, an acknowledgement that what was done was wrong, and an affirmation of very specific rights. And I have language in there how to do that. As I mentioned before, the single most important thing is the notion that a person has the right to live and access public accommodation without having to take affirmative medical devices or products or injections or treatments on his own body. Let me be very clear. It's not a right to something. It's freedom from. I could never hurt you by not taking an intervention, because if it's great, by definition, you could take that intervention. And that's what we learned. So as such, any mask or vaccine mandate, public or private, it needs to be permanently banned. We propose a state constitutional amendment. Federal constitutional amendments are very difficult. But in these supermajority red states, they could pass it, most of them, in one session. I have language in there, proposed language for it. They could do that, done. It could never be done again. And that pulls the rug out from under them. At a federal level, we need to really rally behind. If these things are safe, it's time to put your money where your mouth is and to absolve of liability at least any product that the government countenances, indulges in any way. It funds it, it markets it, it distributes it, it endorses, not just licenses it or approves it. It must be subject to the base degree of liability that Toyota would have for their airbags that are always being recalled, things like that. They must be, that is a violation of basic human rights, the fact that there is no way to get legal discovery based on that. Repealing the 1986 Act, repealing the PREP Act of 2005, that they could declare an emergency and anything done, any testing, any treatment, anything, you know, what was done in the nursing homes is covered under the PREP Act. How we have emerged from the last 2.5 years without anyone even campaigning on this is shocking. And obviously, emergency powers must be made at a state and county level. You could do this easily in red states. A couple have done it to an extent. This is not the 1800s. It takes a second to get into session. Okay, we have cars. The legislatures could come in. You don't need executive power. There should be no more than 7 days of emergency authority for anything without convening a legislative body.
Final thoughts, Steve, on the book, what people need to know. And also just curious, why does it not come out till next year?
Well, because of the Let's Go Brandon economy, we've got shortages in paper, glue, everything. And so there's two reasons why we started pre-sale so early. Number one, trying to gauge interest, because if we don't print enough, you're looking at 3 to 4 months of lag time to fulfill that inventory. There's another reason, though. We wanted to test the censorship, Charlie. We wanted to see just how far we could push Amazon, where 83% of all books in America are sold via Amazon. Okay. And so we have an alternative sales means via a platform as large as the Blaze, that if we were to get censored and banned, we could just store them there and sell them to people through there. But if they banned us when the book came out, then we would be caught kind of with our knickers down. If we find out now, and that's also why we put the opening chapter out, we put it out there with all of its provocative content to test the system. Will they try to censor it? Because that would give us enough time to come up with a backup distribution system comparable to the traditional one. It's terrible that in America, we have to make these sorts of considerations into our business plans these days. But we live in an era where we were just told this week, a billionaire was going to sell nuclear secrets to other countries that were so important to go and get from his private residence. They took several weeks to mull over whether or not to go in there.
Well, they took a year and a half to realize they were missing. Yeah, super important.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Daniel.
And Charlie, let's not forget, when we talk about the supply chains, glue and paper, that's also a legacy of COVID fascism. I don't want to hear about, it's the Biden economy, taxes, regulation. I mean, some of that exacerbated it. And this has its roots all in COVID fascism. Everything they are going to do to you, the FBI, the notion that we could declare you a threat and boom, you have no rights. It all came from that revolution in March 2020. We have to recognize what it is, the rise of the Fourth Reich. We need to confront it with that Nuremberg trial, and we need to reaffirm human rights in a new Nuremberg code to make sure it never happens again.
There's so much more I could talk to you guys, but we're out of time. Thank you guys so much. Steve Dace and Daniel Horowitz, Rise of the Third Reich. Pre-order it right now and go to trialandexecutions.com. It's a phenomenal book. I actually have an advanced copy, and I'm really enjoying it. God bless you guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
God bless.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.